Our scripture reading today is from Psalm 139, verses 13 through 18. Before we hear these words from the psalmist, let's begin with a prayer. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scripture is read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen.
Amen.
For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
God, you have reminded us that you have wonderfully, fearfully, and wonderfully made us. Help us to remember that, to live into that. Help us to understand how we all have something to offer, all have something to give back, to return to you. I ask, Lord, that you bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. There we go.
A grandmother friend of mine gave me this swing. Mm-hmm. Oh, I had a different one before. It was kind of small, and I had it way out in the yard, so I was never able to show it to you. But this one I can. How do you feel about new things? Sure. What about growing? You like to grow, don't you? That's sort of like going up and feeling different inside. Well, however you feel about it, I like you exactly as you are. I like you as you are. Exactly and precisely. I think you turned out nicely, and I like you as you are. I do. I like you as you are, without a doubt or question, or even a suggestion, 'cause I like you as you are. I like your disposition, your facial composition, and with your kind permission, I'll shout it to a star. I like you as you are. I wouldn't want to change you or even rearrange you, not by far. Mm-mm. I like you, I-L-I-K-E-Y-O-U. I like you, yes I do. I like you, Y-O-U. I do. I like you as you are. Certainly do.
This was the first performance of the Mr. Rogers song, I Like You As You Are, filmed in the first season, the premiere season of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood on PBS in the tumultuous year of 1968. Any of you who were around in 1968 can tell you that that was a very difficult year in the nation. And it is clear from the beginning, this approach of affirmation and love would be the foundation of Mr. Rogers' belief that every human has worth, has value, something to offer to the world. And as a trained Presbyterian minister, Fred arrived at this belief through his experience, his training, his faith, and his reading of Scripture. early childhood development at that time, which Fred studied, and he actually had someone on staff who was an early childhood person, Margaret McFarlane. He studied that the teaching was that if a child experiences love, affirmation, and feels safe in which the environment in which they are, they're more likely to develop a healthy self-esteem, a self-assuredness, become more resilient to the struggles they will encounter in the world. And when a child is denigrated or made to feel worthless in a way, they tend to seek out more destructive forms of negative attention or feel worse, that they have no value to add to anyone or to the world. Now, it is amazing how Fred could take these complex theological and psychological ideas and express them so simply and beautifully in, like, the song we just heard. The idea of everyone having value and worth would be a subject that Fred would return to again and again in songs like "You Are Special," "I Am Proud of You," "It's You I Like." And where he sings, "It's you I like, it's not the things you wear, it's not the way you do your hair, but it's you I like, the way you are right now, the way down deep inside you." I believe he returned to this theme so often because he knew the powerful persuasiveness of self-doubt and fear in the human experience. He knew our tendency to question ourselves at every turn. He knew the endless stream of negative talk that flows through our brains all the time, convincing us that we are worthless and terrible. And not just in kids, but adults too, because he knew that adults would be hearing these words. Fred knew that his show might be the only place where some of his viewers were hearing such affirmations, that when you feel worthless and alone, Mr. Rogers was there to tell you he likes you just the way you are. And his show was intended to counteract that anvil of shame that we carry around with us each day. In the documentary, which we're going to see a clip from at the end of this sermon, the documentary called "Won't You Be My Neighbor," Mr. Rogers is being honored at a dinner. And at this dinner, afterwards, all these people are just, and this happened to him everywhere he went, by the way. He would just go and people would just rush him like he, you know, they needed to give him a hug and say thank you for everything. Presbytery meetings. It happened at Presbytery meetings, and this lady, she was an African American woman, and she said, "When I was a kid, there were a lot of times that I did not feel that I was able to be accepted just the way I was." And you said it, and she said, "I believed it, and I lived it out." And she said, because of his affirmation, that changed her life, because she heard it from him when she wasn't hearing it from anywhere else in her life. From her parents, from her schoolmates, anywhere. I believe that Mr. Rogers came to this understanding honestly. I think he came to it through his reading of Scripture. After all, Fred did go to seminary. He attended Pittsburgh Theological Seminary, was trained as a minister, was trained, and was ordained in his ministry of doing what he did as a TV show. And when you look at Genesis 1, you hear the story of God creating humanity in the image of God, and verses like what we heard Katie read this morning, Katie and Tilly, Psalm 139, we are told that God knit us together and we are wonderfully made. Making it clear that humanity, as of all creation, is an extension of God's love. That we are the creation of a God who knows us and loves us. And because we all came from God, we are therefore good and deserving of respect. That you are uniquely you because you are a reflection of the wild and diverse God that made you. And the minute you internalize that truth, the better, right? That your weaknesses and faults, your brain wiring and talents are actually part of how you were wonderfully made and shaped. That in some strange and beautiful way, all of it brings glory to God. Our identity, who we are, what we are, flows simply and purely from our Creator. Yet in a society that measures profits, values profits and measurable results, our lives become more or less worthy by what we produce, by what we can offer to others. So it makes sense that this foundational belief that you have value apart from what you produce would come under criticism in some circles. And I think the argument went something like this. Telling kids that they are special is coddling them too much. It's not preparing them for the real world where no one but their mommy and Mr. Rogers is going to tell them that they're special. You're not special until you figure out you work hard to become special. I think that's the kind of idea. This attitude has produced entitled and selfish kids who feel they don't need to strive for anything because you're already special. Now, I've always wondered if those people that heard this, who offered this critique of Mr. Rogers, actually ever watched the show. because Fred didn't say, you are perfect just the way you are, or you are talented as everybody else in your life and you don't need to work for anything, but rather you are special because God made you you, because you are unique. That your value comes not from your failures or your successes, but it comes from your uniqueness. What makes you, you? And that uniqueness is a reflection of God. Fred often invited professionals onto the show to put on display the incredible uniqueness of humanity. I remember an episode very well that Simon and I watched recently. He brought in a guy who could make balloon animals. And what I loved about Mr. Rogers, this is why that critique is, I really don't like that. I'm not even going to say what I really think about that critique. Is that when this guy is blowing up balloons and creating balloon animals, Mr. Rogers is sitting there with complete awe and gratitude. Oh my goodness, how do you do this? This is amazing. Mr. Rogers had this incredible respect for the talents and skills and gifts of others and celebrated those gifts. Saw them as something unique and special. And it was not because he was convinced that he was just as good as that balloon maker, but because he was seeing that it was the good work of God in the flesh. That a guy who can make a balloon into a horse can bring joy to the world. Right? But isn't that a microcosm of all of us, right? Right? The work we put in to lift up the uniqueness of humanity to bring joy out of our own uniqueness. Second, Fred knew that affirming a kid's specialness made them strong and confident to tackle the challenges of this world. He knew that a child was not going to have a problem hearing these things. You're not special. You need to work hard. All those things, right? And many of us affirm those things. Yes, he knew that kids were going to hear that plenty. What they might not be hearing plenty of is that I like you just the way you are. And you see this, right, in the world, that confidence can actually help you succeed in life. It can actually help you learn resilience. And so think about when toddlers learn to walk, right? Oh my goodness. These kids, you would think they are so confident in their ability to do this, right? You see these kids and they can't do it, but they are sure they can. They are convinced that it's going to happen. They're going to walk, and they fall all the time. They never stop falling until they do it. And they did it because they trusted in their own ability to do it. Because they had confidence and strength within themselves. Imagine what you could accomplish in your life if you could actually put away all that negative talk. Put away all those things that has tried to convince you that you have no worth or value into the world. The confidence in which you could go out into the world and offer love and grace to others and opportunities to bring joy. Because we need these words. You were fearfully, wonderfully made by a God who loves you. No one is exactly quite like you. You are special. These words counteract the violence of hands and mouths, the abuse of our trust, the constant corporate messaging that tells us that we are never enough, and most importantly, it counteracts the voice deep down inside of each of us that has convinced us that we are worthless and no good. And you all know that that voice often gets the best of us, that it often hurts us than we care to admit. Yet when we dare to accept each of us were wonderfully made by a God who loves us and instilled in us the uniqueness we have, we claim our true identity, our full selves. And so to close, I want to show you a clip from the Mr. Rogers documentary I mentioned earlier, Won't You Be My Neighbor? Where Mr. Francois Clemens, who was Officer Clemens on the show, speaks about what it meant to be loved just the way he was and how his encounter with these affirmations changed his life. Let's see that clip.
That feels good. Oh, there's Officer Clemens. Hi, Officer Clemens. Come in.
Rogers, how are you?
Fine. Won't you sit down?
Oh, sure. Just for a moment.
It's so warm. I was just putting some water on my feet.
Oh, it sure is.
Would you like to join me?
It looks awfully enjoyable, but I don't have a towel or anything.
Oh, you share mine.
Okay.
Sure.
Around the country, they didn't want black people to come and swim in their swimming pools. And Fred said, that is absolutely ridiculous.
Today, trouble under a noon sun. Negroes and white rabbis marched to a segregated hotel with these results. Manager James Brock told them to get off his private property, tossed cleaning chemicals inside the pool in an effort to get the Negroes to leave.
My being on the program was a statement for Fred.
Cool water on a hot day. Francois Clemens, hi, welcome.
Thank you, how you doing?
Fine, how are you today?
Fine.
My feet were tired, so I thought I'd just soak them for a while in this water.
Does it make them feel better?
It does. Would you like to try?
Sure.
On the show, he would say, I love you just the way you are. One day, I said, Fred, were you talking to me? And he looked at me and he said, yes. I've been talking to you for 2 years, and you finally heard me today. And I just collapsed into his arms. I started crying. That's when I knew that I loved him.
There are many ways to say I love you. There are many ways to say I care about
you. No man had ever told me that he loved me like that. I needed to hear it all my life. My dad never told me. My stepfather never told me. So, from then on, he became my surrogate father.
I'm so proud of you, Francois.
Oh, thank you, Fred.
Can I help you here?
Thank you.
That's favorite. As we finish with that, the power of him washing his feet, drying off his feet after that, that is an image taken right out of Scripture, right? But God has made you special. Embrace that and share it with the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.